This is CRNH on KXL. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. This hour is presented by the Concord Food Co-op. Great food, great people. The Concord Food Co-op is a centerpiece of Concord's beautiful Main Street. For more information, check out concordfoodcoop.coop. I'm joined on the show right now by U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan, who's a part of a group of senators who have come together from the middle to work on and find a framework for a $900 billion stimulus package, which it looks like may get a vote by the end of this week. Senator Hassan, how are you?
I'm fine, Chris. How are you?
Good. Appreciate joining us for the show. And I have a lot that I'm interested in regards to this group that has come together and the potential that it has moving forward. So let's start with a discussion about what is in this bill and what you have heard here in regards to it getting a vote in the House and Senate as both the majority leader and Steny Hoyer as well, the majority leader in the House, have been meeting.
Well, so what we did in the Senate was come together a group of Republicans and Democrats who have been hearing from our constituents. I hear from Granite Staters every day, from small businesses who need additional relief as the weather is getting colder and people maybe can't eat outside at a restaurant the same way they were over the summer, to families, to households who are facing the expiration of their unemployment benefits literally the day after Christmas, and they need to feed their families and pay their rent. We also know we need significant support for schools, more broadband connectivity for folks. State and local governments need support. And then we know we need more public health funding, not only to fight the pandemic, but also to prepare for vaccine distribution. So those are all things that are included in this bipartisan framework. We still have to flesh out the legislative language, and that's what we're actually actively involved in doing over the next few days. But the point of announcing it yesterday was to let our leadership know, both in the House and in the Senate, that we have some agreement as to principle, as to a dollar figure, as to what needs to be covered in a targeted relief package that would get us through the darkest days of this winter as the pandemic is surging, and provide time for a new administration to come in, assess what's going on, understand the impact that the vaccine's having on the pandemic and on the economy, and then prepare its own next steps. But that's really what this is intended to do, is to be a targeted relief package that will really address the needs that we're hearing about firsthand right now.
In terms of the practicality of this, there is this package, and then in your view, would there be another package that would follow that, that would be focused upon laying, you know, the groundwork for the post-COVID economy, which I think is absolutely, you know, essential moving forward?
Well, we're certainly hearing from both public health experts and economists that a package like the one we're talking about right now will not be enough to really help fully address the pandemic and then move us past it and help us rebuild the economy. But what this package does is focus on the needs we're hearing about right now and the need to get relief out the door. And one of the things that we need to do as a Congress is listen to our constituents who have been helping each other out, you know, finding ways to be supportive of their friends and neighbors, whether those friends and neighbors are frontline workers or people whose jobs literally disappeared before their eyes because of the pandemic. But what we need to do in Congress right now is find a way forward that can get the votes to pass, and that's what this framework represents. We've got people from both sides of the aisle in both chambers saying this is something we can get behind, and what we're trying to do right now is build momentum for it and urge our leaders to not only help us flesh out the details here, but put this kind of plan on the floor so we can vote on it.
The message of this past election to me was very clear, that voters in New Hampshire, as well as voters across the nation, are tired of the extremes. They're tired of Trumpism, and they don't want socialism. They also do not want to hear about defunding the police, but do want solutions in regards to that issue. And this group that has come together in the Senate, to me, represents a real exciting option of perhaps getting things done in Washington, D.C. And you're part of this group with Senator Shaheen. I'm curious as to what you view the future of this group being, and do you see this group sticking together and perhaps providing other frameworks on other key issues that have not gotten done for years and years?
Well, this is certainly an informal group that talks a lot together. And if you look at the group of us who were at the press conference yesterday, you'll notice a lot of former governors in the group, people who have had the experience of needing to solve problems with members of both parties and get things done. And so I think that we will continue kind of on an issue-by-issue basis. A lot of us do work together, and even since yesterday, we have more colleagues who are offering their help and offering to participate, too. So I think it speaks well to the need to get things done. One of our big issues right now is really getting the majority leader to actually allow bipartisan groups of senators to put bills on the floor and have a robust legislative process. So the majority leader might not like something that we're proposing as a bipartisan group, and the minority leader might not like it either. But if we have bipartisan support and we can have a full debate and amendment process, that actually may be able to help us address some of the issues that are so compelling and that our constituents want us to address, constituents from both parties or no party. So we'll continue to work together. You know, one of the things I'm trying to remind people now, and it's something we're hearing the president-elect talk a lot about, is that there's nothing Americans can't solve when we come together to do it. And there's also nothing wrong with having debate and disagreement. Americans are opinionated people, and one of the things we cherish is our freedom to disagree and express our disagreement. But you can't care more about winning an argument than you do about solving a problem. And that's really what this group is about. Believe me, we have our robust debates within the group, but then we hunker down and try to put pen to paper and figure a solution out.
That is Maggie Hassan joining us here on the program. U.S. Senator joins us from D.C. And I want to get a little bit more into the details of what's being discussed and debated. But one more thing on this. Do you feel that there is the potential for this group, again, it's an informal work group, but in taking up big issues, would you work specifically with the president-elect? And can you see him, you know, perhaps wanting to find this common sense caucus, if you will, or something of that nature, seeking you guys out and governing from the middle out as opposed to what we have seen for really decades now?
Well, I think we all know that the president-elect is somebody with a long history of bipartisan relationships. And I think there is always a balance to be struck about making sure you are including lots of people in the problem-solving and discussions that need to happen and the legislating that needs to happen, while also really making sure people understand your vision and also really holding people accountable to meeting the magnitude of a particular challenge, right? And so one of the things that I think we're all going to need to be sharing information about, sharing opinions on, and finding common ground on is really understanding the level of challenges we need to address. One of the things we have seen from this pandemic is inequities laid bare, right? And they have been inequities that have been present for a long time, but we are seeing them in a new way because of the pandemic, and we are understanding how they undermine our economy as well as our health as well as our overall capacity to succeed. And so I think it's going to be, I think President-elect Biden is going to seek bipartisan support for a lot of what he does, but I also think he's going to do what all leaders need to do, which is work to make sure that our solutions represent our values and really will help the country tackle the challenges it has.
Final thing, in evaluating the CARES Act, what did you find in that went wrong and that would be fixed in whether it's the allocation of payroll protection plan money, if one sector of the economy got more funds than it should have, if unemployment should have been higher. What did you find anything in evaluating the CARES Act that you did not like that will be fixed with this potentially?
Well, that's certainly one of the things that we are talking about as we're putting pen to paper and fleshing out this framework. One of the compromises that we've made is that we heard from families in particular how important the unemployment benefits were, and we've heard from economists how important that the federal supplement to unemployment was, not only for meeting day-to-day needs, but also for working families to be able to save as the pandemic continued. But one of the compromises this group made was to say we'll continue the unemployment through, I think it's from retroactive to December 1st through April 1st, but the supplement will be $300 a week, not $600 a week. That's a compromise, but it also represents concerns, addressing some of the concerns that some people in the business community brought to us. Certainly on the PPP end of things, we want to make sure that truly small businesses have the opportunity to apply for this crucial aid. And one of the things we learned last time is that the businesses that are somewhat larger and have more personnel to do things like apply for these loans and work with a bank and have a pre-existing relationship with a bank, got to the front of the line faster. So we want to make sure that this aid is going where it is most needed, and we want to make sure we have systems in place to tackle that. So it's always about balance. We also need to act quickly here. So you can't treat this the way you would a program that you designed for 2 years, but we will do as much as we can to learn from what happened with the CARES Act.
Final thing, just briefly, is there any element of universal basic income or a payment to all Americans, as we saw in the, not all Americans, but all Americans who qualified, as we saw in the last legislation in being discussed in regard to this one?
Yeah, that is one of the compromises that Democrats in particular have had to make with this package. It is a short-term package, so there will be an opportunity to determine whether the president-elect, for instance, believes that there should be additional individual stimulus. Certainly, we've heard from economists from both political parties and viewpoints that stimulus money was really critical to helping the economy in the darkest hours of the pandemic, and we're facing some more dark hours in this pandemic moving forward, and we, I think, may need additional stimulus, but it's not in this package right now.
Yeah, I would argue that that piece is, if not the most significant, one of the most significant pieces in a stimulus, putting money directly in the pockets of Americans and letting them spend it as they wish. But as we've talked about before, sometimes in compromise, you have to do what you need to do in order to get things done. Appreciate
right.
your time.
And I would tell you, Chris, that the Republican members of this group are very clear that they want this to be a targeted relief package, not what they would call a stimulus package. So that's the reality of what we're dealing with. And again, it also gives the new administration a chance to assess the situation when Joe Biden comes into office and make its own determinations about how to help the economy moving forward.
Senator Hassan, appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Take care and be safe.
You as well. That is U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan joining us here on CRNH. I am Chris Ryan. This hour presented by New England College as well as Fox Ace Hardware.